We recording.
Shotty Red on the track.
Suge on the beat.
Yo, what's
My
going
name
on?
Is she? Oh, we recording?
Yeah, we recording. Oh. It's the homie Mez. You tuned in to Mez Drinks and Chill. It's another episode. We got the homie Suge in the building.
What up?
She already laughing and acting up. And we got Sheeta Mills in the building.
Sheeta Mills, Shotty Red is here. I'm just playing.
What's up with y'all? How y'all doing?
I'm doing good. It's been a long time, gang.
It's been way too long.
Tonight is full of vibes.
It's full of vibes.
Good vibes.
Good ones.
Great
always.
Vibes. Y'all doing
we got cheers to that one.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers up.
Cheers. Bottoms up.
Hey, yo.
We have my
pause. I forgot we with the pause guy.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Kid for naming me that. Mm-hmm. How y'all been, man? Sugar, it's definitely been too long.
It has. Monique said she ain't doing no choice, no cheers because you ain't say her name.
Oh, so we got Cheeks in the building. I like to call her Cheeks.
Oh, I was about to say I didn't want to say her government name and then she'll be mad. So we calling her Cheeks.
Cheeks. We got Mo in the building.
Mo, what's up?
Cheers, Mo.
Vindy Vici.
We can't hear her on the microphone.
Vindy Vici.
Can I shout her out real quick? We got 100%. Sister La Guru in the building. Hottest girl in Charlotte. Yeah.
Hottest locks in the building.
That's what we do.
What's going on, man? This damn year flew fucking by.
It really did.
Like,
it
it's really about
did.
To be November.
I can't believe it's about to be 25.
Yo. Right. Listen, Thanksgiving is going to be here before we blink.
No, seriously.
100%.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I was thinking about this shit the other day, right? Christmas time don't even feel like Christmas no more.
No.
Like, back in the day, like, you could watch a TV show and it'll literally have, like, Christmas, like, vibes. It'll have, like, episodes based around Christmas.
All the movies.
Facts. Movies. Mm-hmm. You go
Christmas
shopping.
Movies.
You hear, you know, we used to go to the mall back in the day. I know a lot of kids don't go to the mall like that anymore. No, everything's Amazon and everything's on the internet, but even the weather.
Mm-hmm. You know what happened, though? I really feel like pandemic influenced Christmas time. Mm. I feel like how we had so much stuff that was influential from commercials and movies and stuff that was online.
Let's not forget, not to cut you off, but let's not forget the Christmas books with the toys.
Yes, for real. Oh, yeah. So just think about
catalogs.
It. Like,
catalogs.
All of that stuff was advertised, but I do think that commercials and stuff are more sensitive because we went through the pandemic and all the other bullshit where people lost a lot of money and they can't afford it.
Seriously.
Yeah. Even with commercials, you're right, because now they say, like, happy holidays. They don't even say Merry Christmas no more.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Do y'all still say Merry Christmas?
I do.
I do, too.
I say Happy Holidays as well.
But Shoots, like, do you feel like you, like, don't do it because your kids are older?
So.
I feel like I'm calmed down on that a little bit.
I did, because I just had this conversation in the car actually today. I was like, dang, I remember when I used to be so festive. Halloween time, I made sure the kids had their costumes.
Yeah.
It's a ritual with me. Or tradition, I should say. I always watch scary movies from October 1st until Halloween.
Yeah.
And I literally only watched two this year, for the month of October. That's crazy to me.
Like, that shit don't fit. And then the weather, too. Like, I remember it used to be cold around Christmas. Today is, I think the high was like 80 degrees.
Yeah, it was literally 80 mm-hmm. degrees.
That's
and
crazy.
You know, it's a big difference for me because I'm from New York. So up top, you know, it's cold right after.
So do you still be September. Expecting it even though you're here now? Like,
I still do.
I want to pull my coat out, my fur out. Like those type of vibes.
No.
Okay.
But what about shopping? Remember Easter
the
mall?
I still feel weird though. I never enjoyed the cold. That's one of my main reasons from moving from up north to down here because I wanted more warm weather.
But what about little things like shopping? Remember, you from the east side, so
yeah, that
mall,
was a big thing for us.
Right.
To be able to go and shop, I think that online shopping has influenced so much stuff too. Like, and especially when you get older kids,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to even go into malls anymore.
Mm-mm. Right.
You just give a little bit of bread and be like, go ahead and do
gift
your thing.
Gift cards and do what you want to do.
Yeah. True. But that's so much convenient for us.
It is. Yeah. And then you notice like a lot of the stores are closing too.
Yeah.
In the malls.
No traffic in the mall.
Because they don't need to go to the mall no more.
And then you mentioned about the kids don't go to the mall hang out, but they banned them from doing that.
Oh, damn, that's a good point.
Yeah, you have to be 18 and older.
Yeah.
And then if you want, after 3:00, 3:00, 4:00, and then if you want to bring somebody under your age, you have to be 21 and under to bring a kid. Because
which is so crazy.
It is
because
crazy.
In our era, if you were in the Eastland Mall era, Let me tell you something.
That's a different
era. I don't even care if you had $50, $75. You were able to go in the mall and buy a lot of mm-hmm. shit.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then still hang around. Mm-hmm. And then you hadn't even ice skate, but you're going to look down on everybody ice skating like it was such a vibe. You know, it was such a vibe.
That's some real East Side shit.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, we was having a conversation with some of my homegirls, right? And do y'all think paternity tests should be like mandatory no matter how the relationship status is?
Absolutely.
I agree too. Yeah. I feel like without it being doing it, it's too much stuff that's up in the air. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a discrepancy, which let's just say you're in like a serious committed relationship, everything is going well. As soon as you all fall out, unfortunately from a man's point of view, that's sometimes the first thing that they scream.
Exactly. Yeah. And not only that, but you also have the females that lie about pregnancy.
Right.
Lie about who they've been in the bed with, how many niggas they've been in the bed with. Let's keep it real. So I feel like it is, I'm with it, I should say.
And you know what it is. You know why we're so much with it? Because we're boy moms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you never want your son, like when you become mm-hmm. a boy mom, your perspective of stuff is so much different. Like, you never want your kid to go through something that they don't have to go through. Mm-mm. Things are just set in place.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Because you see it from a different perspective.
Perspective, yeah. You're right about that. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I just know that.
Boy moms are different. Like, you're going to hold your kid down, but because you've seen a lot of stuff, you know, you want to handle things differently, for sure.
I know a lot of people hate that. They're like, why are you getting the government involved in it? And if everything's running smooth, why get them involved? But why not?
Why not?
Why not?
I mean, the only thing that I don't like about the government is the whole abortion thing. And personally, I can advocate for that. I've never had an abortion. However, I don't feel like it should be anybody's right to tell who should be able to abort a child or not. Like, no matter what the situation is, I don't care if a person had 50,000 kids and had 50,000 abortions, excuse me. If she don't want to do it, then I feel like it should be her right, because not everybody is fit to be a mom. Yeah. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, there's birth control, there's condoms and whatever the case may be. Okay, but we all know how that shit
I hate
goes
that argument.
You know what? Like, no, the most important part about this abortion law that's so messed up, think about how many fucking kids are molested.
Right.
That's what
I'm saying. How many kids just don't have a choice?
A choice.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, imagine how many stepdads are molesting. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, now you stuck with a whole kid.
A whole kid.
That may be a blessing in other people's eyes, but not yours, because you didn't just, you had no choice in that.
Even rape. Like, what if a girl gets raped?
I was just going to say raped. Randomly raped off of somebody off the street. So I get pregnant. You're telling me I have to keep this child? Like, so now I'm going to have to live with this for the rest of my life. In the flesh.
Mm-hmm. God forbid they look like the rapist.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. You got to look at them every day?
Or,
that sounds crazy.
And not even that, but even about people who just not fit to be a parent.
Or look, sometimes you just make the fucking mistake. Like, what if that night, the night
I
before.
I think you should have that decision, because I feel like we all make careless mistakes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Period. 100%.
So you're trying to make me be accountable for the mistake that I have? I am accountable because I'm going
through
this.
But it's one thing of being accountable and accepting it, but then you got to look at the mistake for over 18 years.
Right.
And decide to raise it and be a parent and nurture it.
And nurture.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But also, to the point is, you're telling me I have to have a child that I don't even have a bond with, possibly.
Right.
But then y'all get upset when people abandon kids, harm kids, kill kids.
Yeah.
But you're not giving me the option to not even be a...
There's a domino effect of that, too, that people never talk about.
You know, my biggest thing is, because I've had a lot of friends that were foster kids, okay? And so although we were very close friends, I always look at their character. It is so many friends that I've had. The domino effect is how they handle other relationships with people in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have people who
That's are, a good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're foster kids, and they also understand they were never supposed to be here because nobody ever loved them.
Loved them. Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, essentially, all of the kids that are produced, they are affected.
Yeah.
So now you got people walking around in real life not knowing how to handle relationships, and also don't have no desire to handle a relationship.
There's all types of abandonment issues and all that.
Exactly, and that's not even just an intimate relationship, friendships.
Yeah.
Just being an all around about person, period, because you don't know how to treat people.
You definitely
because you never grew up that way. You never in
people are literally outside in survival mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
That's the only mode they know.
So I read something. It was like, I grew up off of love. No, something about growing up off of love or right. growing up off of survival.
Well, those are two big different things.
Two major different things.
And you know what's so crazy? And this goes for both men and women. Because nothing is traditional anymore, you do have to vet people to understand exactly where they're from. Mm-hmm. What are you functioning off of? Survival mode or real love?
That's a fact.
People don't vet like they're supposed to, though.
No.
Absolutely not. You know what happens? People are too impulsive.
Mm.
Yeah. Nothing is traditional anymore. Mm-mm. Nothing is peeling back the layers off of somebody and be like, you know what? I like how you do this. I like how you handle that. Okay, cool. Now let me see what happens when you get upset. All right, bet. So let me see how you handle your family. Mm. There's no more people peeling back layers. Everything is impulsive. Everything is a lot of sex, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, my mom always told me, you look at a man's perspective on life of how he treat his mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
She always told me that. She was like, if a man don't respect his mother, how do you think he's going to ever respect you?
That's a fact. I believe that.
And to be honest, looking back at my past relationships, I can see, I know exactly what she's talking about. Now I get it being older now, you know?
Yep. I want to jump in with that. Think about men who didn't have moms. Yeah. We really didn't have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? Do you think it's
worse than not have a mom or a father as far as like, what affects people more?
Depends on the sex.
No, let me say this though. I feel like when it comes to a mom, moms automatically provide nurturing, right?
Right.
If you're a good mom
and
you're in that position. Dads provide masculinity because they're going to let you know how to function in the real world, right?
Yeah.
But you got to think about kids or just people who grow up with a sprinkle of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They never had anything consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that we're talking about is aunties and uncles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's always big homies in the street.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't have good intentions. So you do have a lot of people who are just generally just misled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they do have these father figures or mother figures, but they're still misled because whoever was planting that foundation, they're not genuine.
No, at all. Everybody always have those hidden agendas.
Hey.
But that's a good point you hit, depending on the sex of the child.
I feel like it is.
Yeah.
I feel like it is. Because, like, you got to think. So who you think, so to that point, who do you feel needs the mom more, the son or the daughter?
That's so crazy to answer. Let me tell you why. I feel like men need moms to understand and adapt to their emotional side of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Men need dads to understand how to lead a household.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my biggest concern.
How to be a man, period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My biggest thing, I'm a single mom. Now, I'm a single mom, but my son's dad is around. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a single mom with an absent dad. However, because my son spends predominantly more time with me,
mm-hmm.
he can take on more of my characteristics than his dad.
See, right? That's a good point because there's a difference between a single parent and a single mom.
Facts.
Because a single parent means somebody with just one parent, but a single mom just means you're just single and
by
you're
yourself.
A mom.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm a single parent. So let's
No, you're a single mom.
Okay, go ahead.
You're the single mom because you have
the other parent is there.
The other parent is not absent.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I'm just so pressed on how the influence is there for him,
mm-hmm.
you know. I'm going to tell y'all something. This is, like, real crazy. This is, like, breaking in. I listened to my son's dad the other day, and he told me, he said, we were talking about my son's behavior. You know, he told me, he said he's a womanizer.
Mm.
Your son?
Yeah. My son's dad just told me this. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, because this is all he knows.
Mm.
This is what we all know.
Mm-hmm.
So that means from legacy. That means from my son to his son's dad to the granddad to whoever, they're now acknowledging how they treat women.
Mm.
And I said, so what are we supposed to do to change this? And so we talk about it, but the fact that somebody could acknowledge that you can make your son a womanizer, is crazy.
Mm. Yeah.
And now I look at my son's behavior a lot different because at least somebody's admitting, like, you know what?
Brought it to the light. It was almost like an outside looking in.
I'm like, oh, so this is what y'all be talking about. So my biggest thing is, okay, cool. So now we're acknowledging that he could possibly be a womanizer. What are we going to do to fix it?
Because
I don't want to raise a womanizer.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, but my son's dad.
And it's a different relationship from the mother, especially with a son. Like, I got a boy, so I know my relationship with my son is different than my wife's relationship with my son.
I was just about to ask you, like, okay, because, you know, you have your wife and your son have both of his parents in his life. So I was going to ask you your input on that. Like,
1,000%. Because he'll ask me questions that I know he won't ask his mom. Like, when there's certain things, like, he got a little crush on the girl, he always talks about the girl. So I'd be like,
he crushing.
Yeah. But I'm, you know, as a father, like, I know we in sensitive times. I'm like, I'm just happy he's thinking about women. Like,
right.
I went on a little field trip with him. I could tell he's like, I rode with him, right? I got on the bus. On the ride there, He sat with me, but on the ride back, he was like, "You mind if I sit with her?" I'm like, "Boy, go ahead. Like,
go ahead. Do your thing. Do you?"
Right. That's the crazy thing about fatherhood and motherhood, right? Fathers encourage this type of stuff, but as a mother, you'd be like, oh my God.
No.
You like girls? Mm-mm. Oh, sit back.
On the flip side, I'd be the same way. If it was my daughter talking about another boy, I'd be like, you sitting right next to me the whole ride. Mm-hmm. I might pull you out this school.
You might be going to a whole girl school.
Sure, 1,000%.
But can we, like, generally just talk about how hard it is just raising a black man?
Oh,
yeah, like, we have black kids.
We do.
So the simple, innocent stuff that we see that they're doing, you always have to put an extra layer of care on it because it's course. Like, oh,
yeah.
You like a girl.
Of course.
Don't do this. Don't do that. Right. We don't want it to come off the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And even having a female daughter, I don't have a daughter, but, you know, you kind of want to, like, tell them, like, hey, make sure you're conducting yourself in this behavior because you don't want it to come off this way. I think it's just so hard just raising, you know, black kids in general.
It is.
Because you want to make sure they are good representatives of who we are as parents.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I have the best of both worlds. I have boys and girls.
Yeah.
So I just was speaking to my son the other day. I was just like, nigga, you are a suburban child.
Yeah. They didn't grow up like us.
They didn't grow up like us. And I'm going to be honest. Y'all know I'm always 100. I had to check myself.
Me too.
Because I was like, my son don't know what I came from. He didn't come from what we came from, what I came from. Man. And I even had to tell his dad that, like, we have to, okay, so I'm going to rewind it really quickly. He had a situation. He had two phones because, you know, we had lines or whatever, and I was transferring one of my phone lines to another. So he had two phones, and he was carrying both phones around with him and playing football. So some little boy on the team had his phone. Some little boy on the team had his phone. And then he tried to, like, spin my son with it, right? Like, oh, I don't have your phone, this and that and the third. I don't know who had it.
Right.
So then I guess he, like, walked off with my son's phone. My son was like, nah, give me my phone. So he ended up getting his phone back. But then it was another time he asked to use the phone. This is the phone that he, like, this wasn't the primary phone. This was the other phone because we were transitioning from one to another, right?
Yeah.
So he let the boy use the phone, and the boy ended up moving on with the phone, right? Left the football game and everything with his phone. So now my son was kind of scared to tell us. Now we didn't know. We didn't know this, right? So he's like, so one day his dad texted him and was like, come downstairs, food ready or something. And somebody responded.
He ain't got the phone.
Right. Somebody responded like, what are you talking about? Or something crazy.
Right.
But it alerted him.
Yeah.
So he like, come downstairs. Where your phone at? Who have your phone? So then now he getting all nervous. He like, I don't know. I lost it. Da-da-da-da-da. Going through the motions, right? So I'm like, who the fuck got your phone? This and that and the third. So then I had to calm myself down. So I'm like, let me just talk. Because his dad was on 10. I know you ain't letting nobody run your phone. Da-da-da-da. This and that and the third.
Our kids are different.
They're different, right? So he like, you ain't no bitch ass nigga. This and that. You don't let nobody take nothing from you. And I'm like, so after he did all his rant, because he was upset. You know what I'm saying? But I said, babe, when he left out the room, I said, you have to understand.
Yeah.
He's not us.
These kids are different.
They are different. Man.
And you know what happens? We cannot provide them with the same environment that we grew up in.
Right. And we
shouldn't.
But I'm going to tell you this. I don't want to cut you off, but you just reminded me of something. So I'm from Greertown. When I say Greertown was super lit, when I lived in Greertown, like, people were getting shot every other day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've survived
sure.
a lot. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And so we have a Labor Day thing where everybody goes back to Greertown on Labor Day. And I purposely take my son back to Greertown on Labor Days because although he may not be able to understand how I grew up,
mm-hmm.
he needs to see
how niggas function
mm-hmm. in the hood.
In that environment,
yo,
yes.
My son's first fight was in Greertown on the park.
Mm.
No bullshit, y'all. Stoney had to be about 7 years old, and he was on the park just playing. And you was on roofless niggas. Like,
yeah.
You stay real nice, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they low-key almost beat his ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guess what I did? I sat back because it went too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it kind of got crazy, I got in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to understand, this is how other kids survive.
Survive. They're survival mode.
Yeah, it's different. And even down to we went back the next year after that. Unfortunately, y'all, the park got shot up.
Mm.
We literally went to the bathroom. We went to our cousin's house, who still live in Greertown. And I had other kids with me that were not my children, okay? We went to the bathroom for the kids to use the bathroom at a particular house. And y'all, as soon as we walked into the, let's say, yard, they shot the shit up.
Mm.
Yeah.
So my son was literally underneath a pregnant woman. A pregnant woman. And so, you know, thank God nothing happened. Everybody was safe.
Mm-hmm.
But on the ride home, his perspective, I'm like, so this one grew.
It changed.
This Greertown shit.
So back to the point with my son, like, so we ended up, I had to tell my son, I'm like, I mean, I said, babe, you have to understand, he's not us.
Right.
He hears what we came from. He hears stories when your family come around. We do memories and talk about everything that happened. So he feels like he cannot be like, oh my God, I just let somebody take my phone because my parents is not like, they ain't having that date. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I sat down with my son later and I was like, babe, I said, babe, what happened? Be honest with your mom. What happened? It's okay.
Right.
Let me know. And he ended up telling me the little boy brother being some shit with guns and shit.
Yeah.
And the little boy had gotten to some mess too. So he didn't know how to handle it. You feel me?
Right, right, right.
So he knows that his parents is with shit.
But
he knows that.
Right.
But he didn't want to get big shit. And he know I'm ready. I'm down for a scuffle. Like, keep it real. I'm down for a scuffle. However, he didn't want to present that. He didn't want to make himself look.
Right. But you know,
crazy.
Like, I don't feel like, I feel like it, I would be on the same things. Like, I would say the same things with him. Like, but I'm like, it's nothing wrong with them being zoo animals in a sense. And we literally grew up in the jungle, but they shouldn't have to grow up in the jungle.
And exactly. And I told him that. I said, you don't understand that. I said, it's okay for you not to understand that. It's okay for you not to be on, to have to deal with the things that we dealt with in life. We had to do that for survival.
And
that was
the biggest spectrum in life. Most people really live like regular lives. Like we're like a minority compared to what most people really live like.
Exactly.
Most people don't go through the same shit that we did.
Exactly. And then, you know, so he understood. And I told him, I said, listen, when I tell you to don't let nobody do nothing to you and protect, I'm teaching you to defend yourself.
Yeah.
But I'm not teaching you to be like how we was. We worked too hard to get
to go backwards.
Backwards. I don't want you to have to be where we at.
For
you
sure.
are a suburban child.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And that's
it's
what
okay.
we have to start teaching more.
Yes, I told her, and that's what I did. I'm like, it's okay to be here. You don't know how to handle that.
Right.
If this dude decided, because you went and said something about his phone and decided to put a gun to you, how you going to handle that? You don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You
no.
don't know what to do with that.
But you know, we talked about this earlier. Our kids, low-key, are way more smarter than we think.
They are, sure.
but
he definitely, yeah, but he definitely was afraid. And that was one of the first times that I seen my son afraid. He'll get in a scuffle. He not a punk.
Yeah.
He will scuffle. But when it comes to guns and violence and things like that.
Nobody should be comfortable with that.
Exactly. I'm not even comfortable with that.
I grew up comfortable with it, but it's not like when you
grew
look back,
up, but
like,
I'm not comfortable with it now because I'm in a whole different environment. Right. And I know what that can lead to, and I know the consequences of it. So it's like I told him it's okay to be a suburban. You don't have to work. I said, listen, we work hard to get you out of the hood and bring you into the suburban area to have a better life.
Right.
You have these suburban kids that's out here that want to be in a hood until they end up with some hood real life shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Facts. So I just was telling him, like, listen, it's okay to be a suburban child. You're not your parents.
Nothing wrong with that.
And we don't expect you to be your parents. I don't want you to be us. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this, right? Like, we're talking about all the stuff with the kids and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think a man should be able to walk away from, like, you know how it's a woman's choice to have a baby, right? Like, we can't tell, as a man, I can't tell you have an abortion or keep it, right? It's your choice at the end of the day. Do you think a man should be able to walk away from a child?
Yes.
So, listen, I say yes.
I say yes.
But you know I'm different.
That's crazy.
No,
like,
we need to talk about this more. I feel like that when a man is very adamant about not wanting to have a child.
Right. And a woman says, I'm going to keep it anyway.
Don't make that man responsible because he told you he didn't want that child.
But you know what happens? The child suffers so much more that women are so selfish. They're so thinking about themselves and their choice and their rights. They don't think about 2 years from now, the same person who said they didn't want to have a kid is not showing up at the football game, sis.
Hello.
He never wanted
and
to be.
And now you upset. And now you mad. Yeah. But this man told you that he didn't want this kid. So why are you trying to make him obligated to that? You know what I mean? Like, y'all, like, I never understood it. I'm never begging nobody to be a parent to their child.
Yeah.
I'm never doing that.
But that's ulterior motives. Like, you got to think about so many women have ulterior motives. And the thing about it is the motive don't even be behind a nigga having no bread. The motive simply be behind a girl want to be with the nigga.
Oh, yeah.
And making That's sure true. that the nigga ain't with no
and
other
with
girl.
No other girl. Exactly.
And you know what happens is women don't even evaluate the financial situation of the nigga before they had a kid. Sis, you're doing all of this for a nigga who really can't even
really
afford
can't
the kid
afford,
in the first place.
Or not even financial. Just not mentally.
Yeah, mentally
prepared to raise a kid.
Right.
So it's like, how are you forcing somebody to have a child?
My biggest
not
thing
even
is I know that
if
there's
for.
A lot of women who go through so much fertility issues, you know, they get to a place that are so happy that they're able to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So cool. But you also got to remember, if you begin to get in that space, you have to be 100% responsible for taking care of that kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because that man may have his own outlook of life, his own vision, that he'd never seen a kid in that. Or you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Regardless how much fun it was.
Right.
Or
right.
You.
Since it was
or
fun.
You. Or you.
He's out of there.
He's out of there.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye. I don't want nothing to do
I
with
do
that.
Agree with
How
that.
Do you feel about that?
I totally agree. Like, if I say I don't want a kid, I know I understand it's your choice to keep it or not keep it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I should have a say-so, too. If I say I don't want to have the kid and you decide to go with it.
Then you're going to be responsible for that child.
Child support and all that.
Everything. Like, I'm not paying child support just because you feel like I'm supposed to have a kid. Like,
and the argument I always hear, I was hoping one of y'all would have a, like, the opposite argument, but I should have known. Yeah, yeah.
We different.
Right. But most women will be like, well, then again, you should have thought about that beforehand. Like, you should have wore a condom. You should have been. But it's like, y'all
well,
niggas
I'm
sound
I'm
going to
tell
fly.
You the argument but why right did, now. But, the argument right now of child support.
That is too. But yeah. but what I'm saying is you let that nigga nut in you.
Yeah,
right.
No. But you know what's so messed up, though? Right. The state don't look at that shit like that.
No, it don't. But that's the state. And that's where we goes all the way back to time out. That goes all the way back to the abortion. How are you going to tell me that I cannot get an abortion? Dang so man. Therefore, how are you going to tell me just because I had sex with a person and they got pregnant that I'm supposed to take care of this child.
Yeah, you indebted for life.
Right.
You know, technically, I feel like, let me tell you something, I've had so many up and down thoughts about child support, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as a mother, if you feel like your child's dad is not taking care of the kid, okay, cool. But do y'all know how many damn default-ass moms it is?
For sure.
So, let's talk about it because I know some niggas that raise their kids.
We know some hags that's supposed to pay child support.
Or what they talk about, some abandoned women abandoned mothers, I should say, that abandon their kids. And there are some real stand-up fathers or dudes that raise their kids. I know that.
1,000%.
Mm-hmm. My biggest fear now is because I have a son, my perspective is so different. And I never want a woman to take advantage of my son because mm-hmm. I'm mm-hmm. with the shits.
Okay.
And then when you get older, being with the shits going to have to lessen. You be like, oh, these knees, these arms don't work like that. But you want to protect your son once you have one mm-hmm. because there's so many different circumstances of dealing with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not with that.
Not at all.
You know, you can tell your child so much and sometimes they don't see it coming.
Mm-mm.
You know, like my son is 17 years old and I never thought that I would be in a position when I am looking at moms who are pushing their daughters on my son.
Mm.
That is insane to me.
So look about how the moms push their sons on athletes.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Like seriously, they raise their daughters.
There's dads out there like that too.
Yeah, it is. They raise their daughters to literally.
This is a real
what is it
thing.
To seek out athletic men?
This is a listen. My son is 17 with a clothing line.
Right.
There's no reason why I'm having conversations with different parents.
Shout out to clothing line, too.
Clothing line. What's
nine
the name?
Nine Star.
Nine Star.
I'm so proud of him. But I never understood that there are mothers who are looking at this from a smaller level as if he's something to attach to.
Right, right.
That's crazy.
It is.
That's crazy. But you got moms like that.
You have moms out there because they looking at it as a check. It's a dollar sign.
Right.
And seriously.
While we're on the topic of family, at what point do you cut off family for their toxic behavior, for their bullshit behavior?
Oh,
like, even not only just family, just friends. Anybody who's been around you, like,
oh,
we at the
God.
Point now, like, I don't let too much shit slide. Like, I'm at the point now, I cut you off for the slightest shit.
Cut off family.
Yeah, no. Family, friends, I don't give a fuck who you are.
Whoever.
At this age, if you don't bring me peace or if you bring in drama or negativity to my life,
I don't want it around me.
Because there's some family, you call them, even friends, like anybody, it's just negativity. As soon as they pick up the phone or they call you, you're like, damn, this motherfucker about to talk about some dumb shit.
Let me tell you something.
Seriously.
2023. I feel like everybody needs to be comfortable with auditing your circle.
Mm.
And so sometimes when you're doing this, you feel like that you're judging people for their behavior. But you got to look at people for what they do, how they act, and if it aligns with what you're with. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I want to say this too because everybody's present in the room. I want to shout out you and Mo. I'm going to tell you why. I am in a transition in my life, and I really feel like you guys align with what I'm doing. So whatever y'all say, if we going outside Friday, we outside.
Right.
If we inside on Saturday, we in church on Sunday.
So
that's just showing appreciation to people mm-hmm. who align with what you're doing. And so you cannot be scared to cut people off.
Mm-mm.
Now, I know a lot of people call me mean. I will cut you off in a blink of an
Ooh,
eye.
Ooh, act like I never even knew
Baby,
you.
Baby, I don't know you.
Don't know you.
Never met
please
you.
Don't embarrass, not me, don't embarrass Both. Yourself.
Yeah, but you got to audit your circle, though.
Seriously.
You got to, like, sometimes you got to really sit with yourself and be like, all right, what is this person on?
Listen.
Do this person, this may be bad for a lot of people. I'd be like, do this person get bread? They don't.
And because
what's up with their judgment?
What's up with their judgment?
I don't fuck with it.
I don't fuck with it. How they moving? Move like this?
Have they been on the same bullshit for 5, 6, 7 years?
I ain't fucking with it. I'm telling you.
You know what I do immediately the next day? Sis, I ain't fucking with you. Now, don't start no drama.
At all.
I get on your ass.
Let's keep it peace.
Keep it cute. Y'all block people?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't block
people. Yo, on my birthday, let me tell y'all some real shit. This is so crazy. I have friends that I have known beyond y'all for years. I blocked them on my birthday. Block them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is a toxic trait in me.
Yeah.
Not only did I block, I unfollowed them. Let's say that I unfollowed mm-hmm. them, right? I went and tried to timeline how far it was going to be before they unfollow me back.
Mm.
The fact that I could timeline how quickly they unfollow me let me know that they knew.
They knew. They fucked up.
Sis. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah. See, I never do that.
Yeah, I don't block people. Because I feel like, so before all of this whole social media area, before the whole phones and stuff area, I've always been a natural person to block a person out of my mind.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, I don't need to block you from my social media. I don't need to block you off my phone. I'm just going to completely ignore you and act like you don't even want, like you never existed. But my presence is so big with people that it's going to hurt you more than it hurts me.
But from you know what happens presence. When you do that? They will get in your face and act oblivious to what they've done
oh,
to
no,
you.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. I don't do that. I
hate that.
No, you know why that doesn't happen to me? Because I completely ignore you. You can't even get
even
next
in person?
To me. In person. You cannot get next to me if I don't want to have nothing to do with you. And I'm going to make my presence make you feel so uncomfortable that you don't even want to
be
around me.
You got
to
leave the room
me.
When I'm in there.
You want to leave the room.
Yeah, you're uncomfortable.
You're uncomfortable.
But let me tell you something about people. We are in a space where people have so much ill intention.
Of course.
And they're so messed up.
Of course.
Do you know how many people will carry on and pretend just to stay there longer?
Mm.
Yeah.
You know how many people have been around me just to stay longer?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have good intention
and
for
can't
me.
Stand you.
But
hate
sometimes
you
it's
low
because
key.
Of what the power, like sometimes a nigga can't cut you off because of what you could do. Or like, it just might. Oh yeah, cheers. I gotta need, let me get you see that bottle. I need some more in there.
Yo, listen, because I'm about to say this. Either you get down or you lay down.
Get down or lay down.
I'm gonna put you down.
Thanks. Let me see that bottom.
And I ain't trying to put nobody down in 2024
at all. We
but sometimes people will keep it cool with you just because of that.
Just because of that. Yep.
Like they can't
for
come
real,
around.
You're right, man. It's like some people have so much directional bad energy for you.
Yeah.
That people that's what I'm scared of.
You know,
of.
I been you know I just
yo, this is why we vibe. Let me tell you something. People have so much bad directional energy, and that's what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
A person explain will look it. At you and say, you know what? I want to be around Suge. If I be around Suge, goddamn Friday, Saturday, Sunday, she gonna put me around this. And
right.
if I do this, I'm gonna gain this. Mm-hmm. And blah blah blah. People really have that type of energy. And because
opportunists.
They have, and they are willing to stay maxed up to complete their mission.
For sure.
But you know what we call this? Discernment and discretion.
Discernment.
Yes. Discernment. But let me tell you, your discernment, when that person's around you, you're going to feel uncomfortable. Like,
1,000%.
Hey, I'm around this motherfucker, don't feel good.
It don't feel
but
right.
But in your discretion, he's going to immediately try to tell you, like, let me get them redirect
but,
this.
But a lot of times we make excuses for people like that around
we
us.
We do.
We be like, man, that's just a homie, man. He don't mean nothing by that. But then niggas got to be real with themselves. Like, if you see that and you spot it, dead that shit.
Dead
quick.
It. Like, and I had to learn that the hard way.
I think we all did, yeah.
And hard way.
The
pause.
Question is, when do you dead it?
Oh, listen, baby.
At this age,
when
immediately.
Immediately, because now my peace is being disturbed. And at this age that I am right now, my peace is everything.
100%.
Like everything. My peace is more to me than money.
I'm not risking that for
I'm
nothing.
I'm not. And I mean that like wholeheartedly. Yeah. I feel like my peace is more important than anything else, honestly, 100%. In this world. Because
I'm not risking that for nothing.
Not because when you don't have your peace, you're fumbling.
Yeah.
You're discombobulated. You're not yourself. You off
you
your
rocket.
You
can't even sleep at night.
You can't sleep. So if you can't sleep, then what you can't do, you can't make money for real. What you can't do when you don't make money, you can't make good decisions. We don't make good decisions. Things just start. It's a trickle-down effect.
100%.
So therefore, I cannot allow anyone that is not for me and my peace to be around me, and I'm cutting you the fuck
off.
But
you know what happens? We wait too long to establish what peace is for us.
We did.
But once you figure it out,
you figure it out.
Right. And then you be jumbled up with people.
Yeah.
And you be like, damn, I really got to cut these people off. And it seems like a hard decision.
Oh, no, it's not hard.
Oh,
for me.
Yeah.
It's not hard for me.
Do you have conversations with people or you just slowly?
No,
like,
I will literally dead you. Not even
me
slowly.
Too.
I will dead you so fast. You will bring up a narrative about me that I'm either hating or something or whatever. Whatever narrative
but
that
Isha,
you want
But
Isha,
we
about
immature
me.
For this? Because
no.
I'm done.
No, we're not I'm immature really for that. I don't want to have a conversation because you know why? I don't want to have
though?
A conversation. You know why? Because we've had conversations prior to before this moment.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
You get what I'm
that
saying?
Is different. And
whether
time out
real quick, whether the conversation has been, how can I say it, obvious or not, we've had the conversation. We've had moments.
But let me tell you something.
Point of views.
Let me say this. I feel like when you are 30 plus, I have no room to teach you how to be a good friend or a good person.
Yeah.
I feel like these are things that's supposed to be instilled in you. prior to all of this happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they want some coals. My bad.
Big coals.
But yeah, no, you're right. 100%.
Shout out to Grady Baby.
Yes.
Grady.
Shout out Grady.
Shout out to Grady Baby. Who gives his official?
Super official for letting us invade his space.
Yes. 100%. Hey. But nah, 100%. I feel what you're saying. Like, on one way or another, you have had this conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it don't even be new. And even if when you cut them off, they know what it is.
They
like,
know.
If you really have
so
the conversation.
So do you feel like you have to have the cut off kind of conversation? Or are you okay with, like, I feel like when people double back with me, their biggest thing is, hey, we never talked about it. I'm like, yo, sis, or yo, bro, you're 30 plus. Why do I have to teach you,
you
how
know
to
what
be
happens?
A good Seriously. Person?
I'm going to tell you what happens with me. With my situation, like, if I cut you off, there's going to be a dead space. There's going to be a time where we don't talk. And then they're going to eventually come around like, yo, what's up, man? Let's talk, right?
Okay, let me ask you this. So that dead space, are you expecting for them to evaluate the friendship or relationship?
They know it already, so I don't expect it. Like, right. You know, yeah. Nigga, you know
right.
what you violated.
You know
what you did, right?
Right?
So then you're going to finally come around and talk to me about, like, yo, what's the problem, bro? So then when we finally talk, you've already thought it over and we have the conversation and it just is what it is. And then I'm going to stay away from you.
Right. Are you open to that?
For sure, 100%.
Yo, this is my problem with me. I'm not open to
me
it.
Me either.
I'm not open
me
to
either.
It.
Me either.
I don't know if that's a sense of immaturity.
I figured that's when you said that to her earlier, when you're like, is that immaturity? I figured that you...
Yo, I'm not open to it. Like, once you
Why
did,
not?
It goes back to, I feel like that essentially, we all know how to be good people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't know how to be the best people, because that's something you learn along the way with life, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like the basics, like, I shouldn't talk about you.
Right.
I shouldn't do that to you. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. Those are the basics. Why the hell do I have to have a conversation with you?
You know why? Because when you don't have the conversation with them, now it's almost like a beef. Like, now I don't fuck with you. But when you do have the conversation, it's understood that we don't fuck with each other, but it ain't no beef. Like, when you see them, you'll still dap them up. Mm-hmm. You'll still show them love. But... don't call my phone. Don't ask me for no favors. I'm not helping you move or none of that. But when I see you, I'll still show you love.
Baby, I'm beefiana. Mm-hmm. That's beef. No, yes. I'm just like
that. Yeah. No, I feel you, but there's some people move like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I mean, for real, I just kind of feel like, yo, I have exalted a lot of relationships that we've never talked.
Mm-hmm.
So when y'all see each other, what happens?
Nothing.
I don't know you.
I don't know you. Don't
have,
speak to me. I'm not speaking
no
to you.
I have no clue who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You so, can listen, let me tell you something. I got about 5 chicks right now that if y'all invited in this building while we're recording, they're going to walk in. I have no emotion. I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
These are the
See,
same girls.
I don't like
girls.
That kind of energy.
Yo, these are the same girls that I've went to school with, cheerleader, you know, whatever. I don't know them.
You know what it is too? Men and women suffer different kind of consequences behind
y'all
that.
Y'all handle stuff differently.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. if me and you don't speak and it's tension, I know if I go outside, one of us might get killed. That,
right.
That's where it could
it's
go.
It's more severe.
Right. But women, y'all might just, at the worst, y'all might fight. And that's like very rare.
Well, with
you
me,
know what's so
with
scary
me,
now?
Well,
women
me,
are severe too.
They are. But with me, reason why I choose not to have a conversation is because I'm always giving people chances. Mm. You understand?
What's your chances though?
My chances be like, I will let something slide and I will call you out on it. And then if you continue to do it, depending on our relationship, you get what I'm saying? And then I might, okay, let's talk about this. It's a brief conversation. Like, bro, you know what you did. Bitch, you know what you did.
Oh, you know what I just learned?
Then, hold on real quick.
That's
then
for you.
Yeah, then it's like, okay, so now we had a conversation. I told you how I felt and I told you what you did, how it made me feel, and then you go back and do it again. You don't give a fuck about me.
But
so why
what?
Do
let,
I why do we have to have another conversation about this?
Now I'm about to snatch. I'm about
I don't have time
to,
for that.
I'm about to snatch a few edges. You know what happens?
Wait, I need my edges.
Yeah. Listen, let me tell you what's happening. As women, we're building a lot of relationships that we don't value.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't care about doubling back and saying, yo, bitch, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You feel
what
I'm saying? But because you know what happens is we got too much nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
We have too much socialite.
Mm-hmm.
We have too much shit that doesn't have any value.
Mm-hmm.
We have too much shit that doesn't have any boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're falling out with these people you've hung with outside,
yeah,
when things go wrong, you have no reason to double back and be like, yeah, you did me wrong. No, I just ain't fuck with you no more. There's no boundaries. and there's no value in these relationships.
Yeah.
I recently had a situation.
Uh-huh.
I had no reason to talk about it.
Right.
It's not something I value.
Right.
I ain't fucking with
man, in the club, that damn repack would have been like $50
for a repack.
Let me tell you something. I'm too entitled in the club to be paying y'all repack prices. So however Mess edit this, y'all need to know.
No, I'm not.
Cheetah Mill says I'm not paying.
Yo,
once the hookah is out, it's
fucking
out.
Expensive.
It
man.
Is. No. I'd rather be inside or doing something like this than being 100%. Out. And then you seeing the same people like literally, I literally come out and hear the same music, see the same people, and yeah. I promise you, everybody is starting to look the same and getting the same vibe.
Let me stop you, sis. You, let me bring you back to Charlotte.
Bring me back.
This is gonna be part one of Charlotte just be doing shit.
Yeah.
That was the topic of the
Everybody's
day.
Entitled here. Yeah. We all know each other. We've either went to school together.
Mm-hmm.
We made money together on some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We, unfortunately, mm-hmm. niggas that fuck the same bitches. Mm-hmm. The bonds are so weird.
Or
here.
Bitches fuck the same bitches.
Absolutely. Same. Oh, shit. Damn. Now that's for sure.
Not that's the kisses on the mic. I'm tired.
Yo. It's crazy because there'd be clubs back in the day when there used to be a VIP section. The VIP section would have more people than a regular section.
Right.
You're like, nigga, everybody's VIP because everybody from Charlotte.
Everybody's from Charlotte, yeah. So I did notice that, like, moving down here from New York to down here, I was like, oh, my gosh, Charlotte is so big. I'm never going to run into the people.
Shit.
But now that I've been here for, what, 4 years, I think it's been, going on five?
I'm like, da-da-da-da-da, shoot. They know you.
Everybody.
Like, seriously, like, what the fuck?
Yo, let me tell you something. We're too entitled here. And because we're so entitled, we mess up the money.
Big time.
We mess up the money.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
And now, I'm not saying as females, just quite naturally, we can go to a club and get in for free, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Times have changed, sis. You got to pay. But you know, let me tell you something, too.
And you got to pay for your drinks,
so
too.
Much. I'm going to tell you what has changed. Back in the day, you had fun girls. Fun girls gonna come to the club. They gonna party. They gonna twerk.
Mm-hmm.
They gonna drink their drinks. They are the highlight of the party, and because they're so excited to be a part of the venue for the night,
mm-hmm.
they're going to promote without no question. Like mm-hmm. they gonna tell they homegirl, and they gonna post your flyer, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
But then you got entitled bitches like us. Let's just keep it real. We make money, but we still want to be outside.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get outside. And we want to get in the section.
And ain't gonna post no flyer.
But guess what? We ain't
posting no flyer. We not promoting.
But you know, we be like, yo, Mez, we know you. What's up?
I'm in the building, Mez. Where you at?
Damn, you ain't post no flyer. You ain't saying nothing.
I worked during a time in the club where if you didn't post a flyer, you didn't work.
Right, right.
I worked in a time where if you didn't have certain people on your guest list, you didn't make
mm-hmm.
money.
Mm-hmm.
So times has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like we're outside. We are too cliquish in Charlotte.
No, seriously.
Nah,
and
sure.
We mess up the money.
Yes.
Yeah.
We mess up the money. So
yes. I definitely agree with you on that.
Charlotte is definitely cliquish.
And it's a lot of money out here to get. Like, you could be doing the same thing as the next person and still make bread. Like, I don't understand why it's a competition. And I swear I want to say something. But because I'm a business person
don't do it.
I'm in the church. I'm a changed woman, y'all. So I'm not going to say that. On
the same person was in church spraying. Okay.
Oh, one thing God. I also want to say about Charlotte.
She was musty.
Charlotte is that motherfuckers don't ever think outside the box. They just want to direct to the same audience mm-hmm. over and over and over. It's like the same recycled shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, nigga, think outside the
box.
Outside like, go
the
fuck
box.
With some white people, some Asians, some Hispanics. Like,
it's other cultures besides us niggas.
A nigga open up a club and every night he has a black night. And it's like, how many fucking nights you going to do the same shit?
Same
R&B.
Shit.
Rat.
I think, let me tell you something. I think my logistics, what happens is so many people open up a club, they have the money, they don't understand the logistics.
They don't.
Yeah.
So that was the topic that I was speaking about, that I said. I was
so
like, you know,
etiquette,
yeah, my favorite word, decorum. Like, listen, I'm sick of you bitches.
Uh-oh.
Y'all know it's coming out. I'm sick of you bitches trying to start a business, right? And coming out here or anywhere, not just out here, but coming out with a business and be like, oh, I can do this and I can do that because it's my business. And y'all have no etiquette, no professionalism, no decorum, no anything. That shit is aggravating.
You hear my teeth? Good?
Yes.
I put my teeth on it for you, baby.
Put the teeth on the mic.
What's Rick Ross' baby mama name?
Tia Kemp.
That's how you
Tia Kemp is in the building, baby.
But but no, seriously, all jokes aside, like, I am so sick of people, what is it, claiming being a business owner and not having any business etiquette. Right. Like, you have to understand a business in its full circle. Like, there's more things than just owning the business, putting your name on it, and making money. Like, you have to be professional. You have to know how to take accountability when it comes to your business. You understand what I'm saying? Like, as long as nobody is, like, literally taking advantage of you, you should be able to...
Yeah.
Fix a situation if a client comes or a customer comes to you.
No. Let me tell you what happened.
Break it down.
We're too entitled. That's not what the word entitled. Yeah. We're too entitled. Mm-hmm. When it comes to structuring a lot of business, mm-hmm. a lot of people have money for the business, but they don't understand the logistics.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And when there's no logistics, everything is a domino effect and it plummets. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so my biggest thing with business with people in Charlotte is mm-hmm. stop feeling like your business is going to sustain because of who you know. It's because of what you do.
Yeah.
You got to put in the work.
And bring some mm-hmm. other fucking clientele in the building, too.
Yes. So, listen, I gave two new clients today. There was a couple. Yeah. They were a couple. And they told me that they came to me because their person literally told them that they don't take any complaints.
Yeah.
As a business owner, how do you tell someone you don't take complaints that they can no longer come to you before because...
That shit don't make no sense.
At all. Like, I was appalled by that. So, the situation was, they got waxed. They've been getting waxed from whoever for quite some time. And this time, the person changed their wax up, but they didn't know that the person changed the wax. And they both had an allergic reaction.
Damn.
They broke out. So, when they were telling the person that, she explained to them that, like, basically, oh, you didn't do aftercare correctly. You didn't follow the protocol for aftercare, and that's why this happened. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, let me tell you what you need to do to fix this. They weren't upset or anything because they've been going to this person for some time, mm-hmm. but they just wanted to know what to do to rectify this situation. They didn't ask for money back or anything. They wanted to know how to treat. But think about you having
to even rectify that.
Right, but my thing
is... That's a time for that.
Yeah, but my thing is, why would you tell them... When they went back to schedule, the person literally told them that they don't take complaints. They don't take complaints, so therefore she cannot have them book again with her.
Let me tell you something.
Insane.
Let me tell you something about some black businesses in Charlotte.
She wasn't even black.
But hear me out. When we start businesses in Charlotte, we got to stop being entitled. Because it's a blessing to have people support you on the idea that you have originated. Mm. Now, what happens is you have people who have money who do not understand the logistics of how to run the business.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, you start hiring so many people, and now you allow people to talk about stuff that you don't have in place.
In place.
Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So, and I think people expect to hit a home run as soon as they open up the doors.
Oh my god!
It's like, Nick, that's not how it works. No. Like, take some time. Maybe 4 or 5 years before you really strike gold.
You want me to tell you why these niggas ain't hitting a home run? Y'all ready? Because it's a real simple
before you hit question. That. It's been 4 years for me that I've been in business, and I'm still learning.
Facts. But let me tell you, because this may be applied to you, and ain't no shade. You know what happens? Niggas ain't doing no business plans. Niggas is not sitting and saying, let me tell you something.
I'm niggas.
You stupid.
Yo, so let me drop a gem real quick. Sheeta Mills, follow me on all platforms.
Follow.
Real shit. I don't give a fuck about the LLC. I don't give a fuck about that insurance that you have to purchase for your business.
Yeah.
The first thing you need to do is have a business plan.
Oh, no, right. I do have a business plan. Never mind.
But
let
me tell you what happens, though.
Mm-hmm.
We don't deep dive into our business plans. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. At month 3, when shit is not going right from 90 days, you're supposed to know how to pivot.
Pivot.
Because you have that business plan.
Because you have to redirect.
That. Yeah. We don't do that. Mm-hmm. We are so excited. We got an LLC. We didn't fucking LLC our business. We official. We can post it online.
We doing what we want to do, what time, or whatever the case is.
But let me tell you something. Outside of that LLC, before you buy inventory, before you start booking clients, your ass need to have a fucking marketing budget. Mm-hmm. And I ain't talking about no marketing budget that's $1,000. You need to have a fucking almost $5,000 marketing
or
budget.
Or more.
Because you need to be able to expand to so many demographics that if they're not fucking with you, it doesn't matter. You're still converting.
Yes.
We don't
do that.
Type
of business plan. Even like, even with my shirts, like if I say on a small end, like I'll be like, I'm going to make 50 shirts. It's on a small end. 35 got to get sold at this price. 15 are going to be, like, I have a plan of how I'm going to run this 50 shirts. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to be mad as shit at myself. I have to stick to that plan. But like, people don't really have
that.
Can
we agree that when you're in your demographic that you have such a supportive community?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, like, you dope.
But that was part of my plan. Like, when I first started the shirts, I was like, it was supposed to be Kiss Me, I'm Eritrean. But then I'm like, nah, that's not going to work. It's as big as Kiss Me, I'm African. So that's why I'm like, man, let me go with the bigger, you know, like, it's a bigger pool if I say Kiss Me, I'm African.
You know, shout out to Kiss Me African. Like,
shout out. Because let me tell you something. I got a commercial for Kiss Me African.
Let me tell you something. What
when
happens
in doubt,
Kiss Me African. Sometimes we don't give our people their flowers. Sometimes you got to give your people their flowers. You know what I'm saying? When you see people who have started something from the ground up and it's progressing and you see everybody everywhere and you see people traveling and then, you know, You posting, you know, excuse my language, but you posting people in West Bumblefuck.
Right.
Yeah. Guess what they saying? Kiss me, I'm, you
Kiss
know,
me, yeah. I'm African.
You got to be like, yo, I'm proud of my people.
No,
like,
seriously,
that's
because
up,
you know how many people that ask me, what does that mean when I'm out? Yeah. Even the Caucasians ask me, what is that? What do you mean? Yeah. Like, kiss me. And I'm like, oh, this is my friend. Yeah. Clothing line.
I'm from Cameroon, baby.
She's been spilling that for a couple years now.
Hasn't she?
Right. I am from Cameroon, baby.
Yeah. I thought she was off of it.
CC from Cameroon.
That's how they speak out there?
It's the alcohol, y'all.
Nah, but it does feel good to have that. Like, people be different countries hitting me up. Like, it could be, that should be really worldwide and be throwing me off. Because it came off of just on the humbug. Like, I was going to.
I mean, can we say one thing while we on the mic?
Yeah.
You worldwide.
1,000%.
Worldwide.
You worldwide.
Drinking chill is worldwide.
I'll be looking at my analytics. I'm like, damn, this is crazy. Like, and oh, this is another thing I want to speak on, how we sleep on ourselves.
Ooh.
Like, we never, like, it be some shit that I just be like, I really be playing myself and how I really be underthinking how this
are
shit
you
be.
Ready to know what contributes to you playing yourself?
What?
Social media.
True.
Facts.
Let me tell you something.
Facts.
We look at social media too much and we embrace it too much when we shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because we see people that appears. $10,000 a day.
Appears.
No, they're not doing that, y'all. 100%. Like, we have to stop doing that because sometimes it distracts us from our biggest purpose.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And so when you got that calling on you, when you got that big fave on you, when you got that big G on you,
when you got that anointing,
that big G don't play. That big G say, all right, you playing around.
Because
I'm
going to
give you 50 orders tomorrow.
I get way more love in person than social media.
Facts.
Like, I'll post them on social media, I'll be like, it is what it is. But when I'm outside, I get the love.
You
like,
get that.
Just imagine
respect
when you're outside just doing nothing.
Nothing.
And people know who you are.
Facts, yeah.
And then your Apple Pay or whatever's going off.
Ding,
you're like, whoa.
That's the best feeling.
And
then people know the Apple Pay and the Cash App noise. They'd be like, is that your Cash App going off? I'm like, yeah.
Rashida, pass the hookah.
Right. Okay.
I'm over here giving signals and signs, snapping, twiddling fingers.
Hey, love. Yo,
look how much is left in that bottle.
Here go the seductive voice, y'all.
Hey,
listen.
Love, I just got it. No, but give it to you.
Do y'all see how much is left in the bottle?
Nothing.
Damn near. It might be two shots left in that big ass bottle.
Well, and wait, most still on that first cup.
Milagro.
Milagro.
Me too.
You know what?
Shout out to Milagro. Y'all need to sponsor our movement.
Sponsor. Mez drinks.
Wait, and they chill. Need to do what and chill. Say it again.
Sponsor.
Please he said sponsor.
That. I did.
I don't know. I'm
I don't trying. Know what the
it
fuck I
matter.
Said.
Love is love.
You know y'all better shout. Y'all better show my gang some love. 100%. Mez drink and chill.
That's a fact. My cousin High put me on that in Harlem. Look we was in DC I'm one year. He was like, "You about to smoke? What? What is that? What you? How the hell you get tangled up in that?"
I don't know. Like, love is love. Life is life. This is Mez drinks and chill.
And we drunk.
We drunk. Let me tell you something.
Mez drinks and chill. Hottest fucking podcast in Charlotte right
100%.
Now.
100%.
Oh my gosh.
Get with us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Or get lost.
And we talk about real topics.
Facts. And let me tell y'all something. My first podcast ever was with Mez.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Morgan brought you
yes.
through. Yes. Yeah. That's a lot of people who say that.
Yeah,
that
was let me say something. You like he's a solid guy.
No, seriously, because I really want to say, like, I always wanted to do a podcast, and I got the opportunity, and my first opportunity was with Mez. So shout out to you.
No doubt.
Shout out to Mez. I've been
showing game for her. How long?
How many years has it been? It's been a few years
now.
It's
been at least three.
Yeah, at least three. And I swear, when I tell y'all, this man never changed up, like, never changed up. And even though we went from seeing each other every Friday.
She used to be right there at Hotspot.
Right there, every Friday, to not seeing each other, we still will reach out.
100%.
But you know, it's so dope when you're able to, like, look at somebody's, like, growth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I look at Mason and Chill, like, it has started one point. It's elevated so much from... Yo, you had what's old boy name?
Nigga got celebrities on the podcast.
Benzino.
Like, come on.
Special Ed. When you Special able Ed to that's, put
first
Benzino,
of all, Special
your...
Ed is a legend.
100%.
A legend. Like 100%. Legend. Let's you just know, shout that out.
The biggest thing is like watching your friend stuff grow.
Right.
Yeah. And genuinely supporting it.
And genuinely supporting it and not hating on the side. Yeah.
So, you know, whatever your friend does, every time it grows, you are able to applaud it.
Yeah,
that's dope. 100%.
Thank you, man. Even with Super the live dope. Show, like when I did the live show and the shit sold out, I was in shock. Like, damn, nigga, I really be sleeping on myself.
You do, and I 100%. Feel like, and I honestly feel like you don't give yourself enough credit.
The topic is why do we sleep on ourselves?
Because sometimes, and I'm gonna say this because when we feel ourselves, or not even feel ourselves. Let me rephrase that. When we are proud of our accomplishment. We feel like we can't brag too much about it.
Yeah, because that's when the hate comes.
Because that's when the hate comes in.
But hold on.
But let me tell you, I've learned to not dumb myself down anymore.
Thanks.
Because if I'm dumbing myself down to make you feel good, then why are we even compatible?
Let me tell you something. I know it's totally different for men, right?
100%, yeah.
It's different. But when it comes to women, you got to... be around bad bitches who all we understand
exactly.
bad bitches and all right.
Exactly. And I want to shout y'all out because let me say something about Mo. Mo has brought the soft girl era out in me.
Yeah, she's so sweet.
Yes, she really did because
we kind of hood, right?
Yes, and she brought me back down to who I really used to be before the world changed me. And I say the world changed me because I had to adapt into the environment that I've been around. And then meeting Mo and being around her has literally put me in my... She always be like, you know, you are a friend I needed. Hey. And, you know, she's so That's soft
hey.
And,
you
and things
my voice
like that. But I tell... Hey. Yes. And I tell her, like, you know... You saying that I'm helping you out, but you have helped me as well.
Thanks.
And I just want to shout you out for that. And I want to shout you out, Sheeta, because you are a boss ass bitch for real. And
100%.
You get to the bag. You are very authentic. And I Thank never you. Got any like weird vibes from you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm a very, I go off of vibes.
We're weird collectively. That's why we like each other.
She'll definitely throw an alley-oop. She would definitely throw an alley-oop for two.
Yo, I'm like, I love Aisha because if I don't love you, you gotta get back.
Who are these girls?
No.
Speaking of that, like, are y'all cool with people just popping up at y'all crib? Are y'all cool with people just popping up at y'all crib?
Absolutely not. That's my peace. That's my safe haven.
So somebody has to give you who can pop up at your house without letting you know?
At this point, they kind of can.
They y'all. I was gonna say going people that I genuinely fuck with. If I fuck with you, you've been in my home.
Yeah.
If I don't fuck with you, you
know
ain't been
so
in my
crazy?
Home.
I'm finna get into your ass.
I'm
about
sorry.
This. You know what happens?
Sorry, y'all. Time out. Sheena, you know I what? Love you to death, and I fuck with you. We just haven't gotten there yet.
That's what I was about to say all. To you.
But you about to come, and I haven't been to yours either, yeah. And I'm about to come. Yeah.
It's so weird. Yo, women are so much weirder than niggas. Like, it's crazy. Like,
I don't let niggas in my crib at all. You got, I know niggas who I've known 10, 15 years who've never been in my crib.
But you got a timeout, not to cut you off, but you have to understand my position with that is I have a, huh? Oh, I have a whole family. You understand?
Yeah, that's true. I have a family.
So my family consists of my kids, yeah. And then certain part of the year consists of my parents because y'all know my parents come down here half of the year. And so with that being said, and I also have a husband. I don't trust bitches around my nigga.
You shouldn't. You better not.
So if I have you around my nigga in my home, you best to believe I fuck with you. And if you fuck that up, I want blood.
Because you'd be surprised how many some of the homegirls who...
And I'm going to get blood.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
She put it in the air. Look, that's another episode of Mesh Drinks and Chill, man. We've been drinking, kicking it, smoking hookah, eating wings. What's y'all socials? How can they contact y'all?
Well, y'all know me, Big Shug. Hello. Big Shug. The Zen Room. Everything. The Zen Room. T-H-E-E. That's Zen Room. Hit me up on all platforms. Make sure y'all come and book those. Go and book those appointments. I have the head spa. I have the...
And the head. It? When the head, you got to be specific what that is.
Oh, the head spa. Pause.
Yeah.
This is scalp treatment or relaxation.
There you go.
So when y'all go to that page and y'all see that, that's what that is. Make sure y'all book that. I also specialize in waxing, facials, and laser hair removal. So make sure y'all hit me up.
Wow.
These in room. Big Shug, not the little one.
Not the little one. So now you got Big Mama. Yeah. I call myself Big Mama.
Big Mama.
Big Mama. All right, my social media is Sheeta Mills. Let me tell you something. If you're trying to get some bread, you're trying to repair your credit, trying to get some funding, make sure you follow me. I have all the gems. I have all the ways for you to advance your life. Mm-hmm. Follow me, Sheeta Mills, on all platforms.
And y'all know where to find me. Mez Drinks and Chills, the podcast page, or Mez Black Label is the personal page.
And don't forget the background, Sister Lock Guru.
That's right.
If y'all ready to transition and y'all need some sister locks and need y'all hair treated, make sure y'all, because let me tell y'all something, and I'm going to be frank because y'all know that's who I am. It's a lot of you bitches walking around here with these fake ass sister locks and they don't look good at all. And she has definitely showed me and taught me how to differentiate real locks, sister locks versus to some fornicated. No, that's not the right word. Some false?
Fugazi. We'll go with Fugazi. Fugazi.
All right, y'all. It's been enough. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm out.
Peace.
But you said fornicated. I was done.